Have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet together and to be able to engage with Jesus and his words. We pray that you would open our hearts afresh, and we ask in his name. Amen. Well, I want to begin with a question this morning, and it's this. What is wrong with our world? What is wrong with our world? Now, I wonder what you would say. Maybe a variety of things. I guess some of our politicians seem to be saying that what's wrong in our country at the moment is due to the view of Brexiteers. Others that it's the views of Remainers. Some say that our main problems are to do with the environment, whether that's pollution or plastic. Others say that there isn't enough money as the government takes too much money away from people in tax, whilst other people say that the government should take more tax and use that to help people who don't have enough. Well, let me show how some people on a British high street reacted when they were asked the question, what is wrong with the world?
There's no love. There's not enough love. We've lost the plot, I think. We're all very selfish and we're very self-centered, and we don't seem to have sufficient love for our fellow men.
These problems is political religion. I think that's a massive problem.
Nothing wrong in the world, but the people is making wrong. The people is making wrong.
You've seen the world, right?
We live in sin. That's what's wrong with the world.
I think there's a few bad people who do a few bad things.
To me, nothing. To me, nothing. But to everybody else, everything.
Yeah. It's people that's the problem. You know, their affairs, politics, how we treat one another, person to person. I think that's the problem.
I'm trying to share power instead of love. We're teaching people to live in fear rather than love. And I think it's like everything's to do with money nowadays.
The discrepancy in kindness amongst humanity.
Yeah. What I see the world now is upside down, really. What's going on in every country now is a problem. And what we live now, I call it the wicked world, really. Not happy.
Well, there's a few views, and I guess most of us will have views as well as to what is wrong with our world. We know, don't we, that there are a great many problems, but often we struggle to work out what really the problem is. Well, the good news is that there is somewhere to go in order to find the answer to what is wrong with the world, and also how that problem can be addressed. In fact, the answer is not so much found in somewhere, a place, but in someone, a person. Now, we had a reading earlier from Mark's Gospel, and the writer, Mark, opens up his book by saying this. This book is about the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, the news that Mark passes on is the very best news, the very best message the world can hear. And it is all about Jesus, God's King, come into the world to show what is really true about ourselves, about the world, and about the God who has made us. Now, in what we read from chapter 7, Jesus has been spending time in around the Sea of Galilee area, where people on the whole were quite familiar with the ideas that had been taught in the Old Testament. And Jesus has been training his friends to understand what he is all about. And he's been doing that in words, and he's also been doing it by performing extraordinary miracles. Miracles that were messages explaining something really important, like when Jesus stilled the storm. He was showing that he is the one who controls and has authority over nature. Like when he fed 5,000 people all in one go when they didn't have enough to eat, showing that he is the one who can provide for the most important needs that human beings have. But even though Jesus was bringing life and wholeness to people, there were some who didn't like what he stood for at all. Just before what was read to us, Jesus has been speaking to some of the religious zealots of the day, the Pharisees. And they'd been giving Jesus quite a hard time. You see, they'd seen Jesus give his friends a new form of freedom, life more as it's meant to be. And the religious Pharisees were very upset because what that freedom had involved was Jesus' friends no longer sticking to all the traditional rules that they and others had made up. In particular, Jesus' friends were eating food without washing the pots in a religious ritual way or washing their hands in a ritualistic way. You see, people had set these rules up because they were thinking, well, we know there are problems in the world, and maybe if we do something to the outside of things, that will sort things out. Well, Jesus comes into the situation with a clear message. He says, the problems are not superficial. That is, they're not on the outside of things. What's wrong with the world is, in fact, an inside story. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going into them can make them unclean, but the things that come out of a person are what make them unclean. Now, Jesus' friends heard Jesus say that, but you know, they just didn't get it at all. Now, actually, when you read Mark's gospel, you find that that's not particularly unusual at this stage. And so we read on, when Jesus entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about what he'd said. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot make them unclean, since it enters not their heart, but just the stomach, and is expelled? He's saying all this talk about unclean foods and ritual washings is nothing other than human traditions, which are not really important. Indeed, they're actually based on a shallow understanding of the world and its problems. And he went on, what comes out of a person is what makes them unclean, for from within, out of the heart of people, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and make a person unclean. You see, there certainly is a great problem with our world. And Jesus' grisly list sounds like a description of the causes behind so many of the things that we hear about in our news. Wanting bad for other people, misusing sex, robbery, killing, stealing someone's wife or husband, strongly desiring what belongs to others, tricking people, slagging people off unfairly, self-centeredness, stupid and even wicked behavior. All these things have a source. They come from inside people, from the hearts of people. Now, I guess many of us hear a list like that, and we recognize it as being characteristic of our world, but we think that we're not guilty of all those things, and I guess it would be a big surprise if any of us here were literally murderers. But of course, we all get angry with people, often unjustly, and we even can wish people dead in our hearts. And when we have an honest moment, we know that we're so turned in on ourselves that life revolves around us, and we often hurt other people with what we say and what we do. Well, the bad stuff that causes the problems of the world comes, says Jesus, from within, out of the heart of people. Jesus' words have been pithily summed up like this: the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And we know that Jesus' words make sense. All that is wrong can be traced back, not first and foremost to our circumstances or our upbringing, important as they are, but rather what comes from our inner selves, from our hearts. The source of the nasty stuff that happens in the world can so often be traced back to here. Well, I wonder if you've had to go to the doctor recently. I guess when we go to the doctor, we expect our doctor to listen to us and to do a few tests, perhaps with the help of a specialist, and then accurately work out what's really wrong with us. Now, we might not always like what the doctor says, but we know that we need the truth. It's only if we discover what the problem really is that we can have the chance of treatment and then the chance of overcoming our symptoms and our illness. Well, interestingly, a little bit earlier in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 2, we hear of Jesus drawing a rather dubious character to himself, and he offers him forgiveness and life. But there were some Pharisees around then as well, and they saw what happened. And they were shocked, and they said to Jesus' other friends, "What on earth is he doing, giving time to sinners like him?" Well, Jesus overheard what they were saying, and he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." You see, Jesus is the ultimate doctor. He has come for all sorts of people, whatever our history or background, whatever our track record, however dodgy. He diagnoses our main illness, that we are all those who have a problem of the heart. And this is the thing that causes so much that is negative in our world. So Jesus' words challenge the pride of us human beings. And they show us our biggest problem. All these evil things come from within, and they make a person unclean. So not only does what comes from within spoil our world and hurt other people, these attitudes, these behaviors make us unclean before God. In George's baptism earlier, Ryan and Jess and Natalie, Olivia and Josh said words for themselves and Georgie that recognize the truth behind these words of Jesus. These words that explain the problems of our world caused by the problem of human hearts. But they said that they didn't want to live like that. They said they wanted to turn from sin, which separates us from our neighbor and God. You see, the bad things that come from our hearts, because we've turned away from God, the God who has made us, actually make us dirty before God and cut us off and separate us from him. We're all broken. And our world, as a result, is lived in by millions of broken people. And we're all kind of making the world more broken. See, what Jesus says here might be seen as bad news. It's quite serious stuff. It shows us all up for what we are, but it shows us the reality of the world. And yet this bad news has to be heard before we can hear his good news. Jesus has come to be a doctor, not only to diagnose our problem, but he's also come to heal us, to help us, even though we don't deserve it. A few chapters on in Mark's Gospel, Jesus again is speaking with his friends, and he makes it clear that he has come as God the Eternal Son to live in the world as the Son of Man. That is God's special Messiah King. He said he'd come not for his own sake, but he'd come for other people. He said, chapter 10, 45, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, Jesus was going to go on and die on the cross. And as he died, he became what he calls a ransom. That is, he paid the price that others owed but couldn't pay. Jesus offers forgiveness of our sins, all that stuff that's in our hearts that goes wrong. He offers a cleaning up before God. He does that justly, He does it in love. And he offers it to those who admit that they are part of the world's problem, but turn to him and rely on what he has done. Jesus, who died and then rose again from death, offers a new start and a clean slate with God, so that those who believe in him can then enjoy an adventure of living with God and working with him to help others find out what life is all about in partnership with Jesus. And a life of serving people in their needs to help overcome the effects of the darkness that is in human hearts. So as we hear Jesus' words this morning, we should ask ourselves, have I admitted that the world's problems are my problems? I'm part of the problem. And have I recognized that I need Jesus, not only to diagnose my problems, but also as the ultimate doctor to help and heal through his death and resurrection? Some of us may have heard of the author G.K. Chesterton. He's famous for the Father Brown detective stories that are on the telly. He once wrote to a national newspaper, there had been a series of letters about the question that we're thinking about this morning. What's wrong with the world? And he wrote a letter and it just went like this. He said, "Dear sir, what's wrong with the world? I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." You see, that humble and realistic attitude recognizes the importance of Jesus' words. "For from within, out of the heart of people, come evil thoughts and sexual immorality and theft and murder and envy and slander," all these things. All these evil things come from within, and they make a person unclean. So do you see that the heart of the human problem is the heart, the problem of the human heart? And that means my heart, it means your heart. If we're to really understand what's wrong with the world, that's where we must start. And then we can see the great news that in Jesus, God has provided a way to address our deepest need. Because the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and these words which help us to understand the world in which we live. And yet as we look at the world and we see its problems and we instinctively want to blame other people, we have to recognize that actually the problem is in our hearts as well. We pray that you would help us to understand this truth, and that by your Holy Spirit you would help us too to grasp the wonderful good news that Jesus has come into the world to be a ransom, to rescue us, to bring us back into connection with you. Please, Father, would you work these truths in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we are